How is everybody doing this afternoon at Key Point Church? Yes. You can tell the first two services, they were like mediocre. You know, I asked that question like golf claps everywhere. Y'all are a little bit more awake. I like that. The 12 o'clock service is alive. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Here in just a few moments, you've seen some things are a little bit different here. We got signs in the auditorium, tables set up, big life group sign out there, and you see people wearing their life group shirts. It's because today is life group launch Sunday. And it's a major day because we believe fully, that life groups is the lifeblood of this church. As we continue to grow, you know, Sunday mornings, this is a great time to come and gather, but life doesn't happen in these rows 1 hour a week. Life happens outside of these walls. Life happens every day through the week, and life groups is the perfect place to get in community that's going to encourage you, that's going to pray for you, that's going to hold you accountable and push you to go in deeper in the things of God, and so that you can fulfill the purpose that He has on your life. Amen? Amen to that. And we're going to talk about that today. But let me pray and thank Him for His presence. God, we love You and we honor You. You're worthy, worthy, worthy to lift up, to glorify and honor today. And I pray that You're softening hearts and You're getting us ready to receive the word that You have for us this morning. And all of God's people shouted, amen. Amen, amen. Hey, today is going to be a really quick message, and we're going to dismiss you a little bit early, not to leave, but to go and engage in some conversations, meet life group leaders and all that good stuff, because we want to be intentional with our time here today to give you an opportunity to meet all these different, these amazing leaders that we have here leading groups so that you can, just like Brother Johnny Cash told us, find your people. All right? But before we go into it, I want to mention about next week is going to be 15 years of ministry that Key Point Church has been doing in Northwest Arkansas. 15 years. 15. And that's like a decade and a half. Okay, I'm going to write that. Don't ever say that joke again. No, but 15 years. And next week, we're going to take the time to really celebrate and honor God for all that He's done through this house. I mean, with the faithfulness of Pastor Casey and Stacy moving up here to a place that they have no idea what it's about, the climate, the people, but God's been faithful for 15 years. So we're going to celebrate some of that history, but also we're going to let you in on a few exciting things that Key Point's about to step into in the very, very near future. So come out next Sunday. Bring a friend with you. It's the perfect Sunday to do something like that. Bring in somebody with you. Not invite them, but just bring them. Hey, when am I picking you up? Where are we going for brunch? I was just talking with somebody out in the lobby. I want the crab cake, egg benedict from Buttered Biscuit for breakfast. Come on, somebody. I'll take you. I'll buy it for you. And then we're going to go to church. Amen? Amen, amen. Well, here at Key Point Church, we believe in our mission that's out here on our wall. Our mission is that we exist to help people know God, experience life, discover purpose, and make a difference. Everything that we do here, every event, every outreach, every missional thing that we do, whatever it is, through this house, gets filtered through that mission. It gets filtered through that. We believe that, I mean, we have so many different areas where people can come and know God. Obviously, Sunday morning is a great place for that. Sunday morning, it's a perfect catalyst to bring somebody new into the family, into the house of God, and they can receive salvation there, right? We offer that every single Sunday. There's other opportunities as well. We have She Conference in the fall. That's amazing. Yes, so many women come to be a part of that experience, not because it's just a neat experience, but because God is there and moving, and they're engaging with what He wants to do. Amen with that. You've got the She Sisterhood Nights that happen quarterly. You have all these different outreaches that we do. You have what we started this year. Yes, or we didn't start this year, excuse me, but we had our second men's nights ever, like here at this campus this past Tuesday night. And it was absolutely amazing. chili cook-off, all that good stuff. But I do have some sad news. I know that I came out many weeks ago. I'm bragging about my chili cooking skills. I have some sad news about last Tuesday, and that, okay. Here he is. Y'all give it up for Chase then. Yeah, every service it's gotten shorter and shorter. He just loves to rub it in. Yeah. Old nature boy, Jason Ric Flair Jr. Yeah, he stole the belt from me, but it's okay. It will be mine again one day. But it's a fun, you know, goofy way to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. At this men's night this past Tuesday here at the Bimba, we had one in Springdale on Thursday as well. But the one here on Tuesday, they had 45 men that came up to the front. That said, I'm going to step into a new level of leadership that I know God has been calling me to engage in. And I'm declaring right here in front of all this cloud of witnesses that I'm going to do something new in the kingdom of God. And so it's not just about a chili cook-off. It's not just about another event. It's about experiencing God and knowing God on a deeper level. So many different opportunities for that. So we want people to know God. We want people to experience life. And not just live through what's going on, not just go to work every day and then come to church on Sunday or whatever your schedule looks like, but to experience life in the abundance that God wants you to experience it in. He said, I've come to give you life abundant. And that's what we want. That's what we want people to experience. And we believe 100% that you can do that through life groups. That's why it's so important. That's why life group launch is a big deal. That's why getting in this community, in these communities of believers, it's a big deal because it helps encourage you. You have people that are praying for you. You got people that are lifting you up, that are saying, no, you've got this. You can continue. God's got something more for you on the other side. Whatever your prayers are, whatever your praises are, you got a community that you can celebrate with, that you can cry with, that you can love on. You know, you have that support in these communities. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here in just a moment. But we want you to discover your purpose. Growth Track, boom. Go to Growth Track if you haven't gone through it. I mean, it literally helps you know exactly what we're all about here in this house. But it's going to help you discover exactly why you are here. Two great days in your life. One is the day that you were born, and the next is the day you discover why you were born. God has given you a great purpose in your life. It's much larger than what you're experiencing right now here in this moment. Your purpose is generations long. Your calling and everything is going to impact, whether you know it or not, it's going to impact the next generation and after that and after that and after that. When you come into the family of God, when you become a part of this body, it's so much bigger than your own self. And we believe that God has got a major purpose for every single person on this world, and it's up to us to help people, equip them to figure out exactly what that is, because we want to make a difference. We want to see change here. We want to see Northwest Arkansas bettered because of the presence of Key Point Church. Because it's not just this building, but God working through every single one of us. You're the church, not this house, not this building. You're the church. God working through us in this house. We're going to make Northwest Arkansas better. And as Pastor Keith just showed us, it's not just Northwest Arkansas that gets affected. It's the world. And that's something that we can praise God for. That's why I love this house. That's why I love serving in this house. It's because we have a clear mission. A clear mission. And one of the biggest parts is relationships, is experiencing life together, because relationships matter. So I want you to go to John chapter 5 today. We'll be in John chapter 5 and Mark 2. I'm going to read these stories fairly quickly. We're going to take a few things out of them just to show you exactly how much relationships mean. John 5 verse 1 says, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Thank you, Captain Obvious. I do want to get well." 38 years lying here. "But sir," the invalid said. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else always goes down ahead of me. Nearly four decades, this man, now I walked through this sheep gate in the old city of Jerusalem, and I walked through that gate, and just right inside that gate is the pool of Bethesda, which is what we're talking about. I saw the pool. So it's very easy to imagine Jesus walking in this gate. Already Jesus has crowds around him anyways, but then you've got a pool that the water stirs and people jump in and they get healed. Obviously, you're going to have a gang of people around that pool, right? So he's walking in, hustle and bustle, you know, and he sees the pool there, and he walks by this guy who has been for almost four decades sitting right next to the water's edge, watching people get healed because they beat him into the water. Just laying there, doesn't even have a friend that can just roll him into the water as soon as it's stirred. Like, doesn't even have that. He's sitting there. It's not like he's at his home and he heard of this pool and he's just, you know, at the house and he's not getting to see. He's just like, man, one day I'd love it if somebody could take me over there and get healed real quick. He was every single day watching this happen and him trying, like watching it happen, but can't move to get into this water to be healed. How tough would that be to seriously watch it for almost 40 years, other people getting what you so desperately want to have? The pain, the emotional, the discouragement he must feel, the depression he must have. Like, and he's just watching it for everybody else but himself. It's just right there. He can smell the water. It's just right there. Didn't have a single person. Like, when, in fact, when all of his friends, when push came to shove, his friends literally shoved him out of the way to get it there for himself. I mean, the pain. And we say, man, I don't need to be in a life group. I come to church on Sunday. I get fed, you know, every week, or even more than this. Man, I don't know how many times I've heard this. Online church is an amazing resource. And if you're watching online, thank you for watching online. It's an amazing resource, but it doesn't replace community. How many times I've heard, it's like, yeah, I'm watching at home today. I'm watching at home again. I'm watching at home. I'm just going to start watching world-renowned speakers on YouTube because I can see anybody I want. I can watch any conference I want, and I don't have to actually go and experience that because I'm just getting fed like that. Is that, are you really? Because here's the question is, when push comes to shove, who's going to be there with you to help when you need help? If every relationship that you have is through a screen, and you don't have somebody around you to encourage you, to help you through something, man, when it comes time and you're needing it. So community matters. Relationships matter. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. See, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Imagine this place, all right, if this is in our context. We got Jesus in the house, he's healing everybody, and he's preaching to them, and it's so packed from front to back, and not even just then, outside the doors you can't even get in. It's surrounded, the place is surrounded, just trying to get near what Jesus is doing. Okay, imagine this scenario. Then we continue in verse 3. So some men came bringing a paralytic, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, if Jesus is in here and he's preaching and he's teaching everybody and it's all crowded and there's somebody that's needing to come up and get healed, please refrain from climbing onto the roof and cutting a hole. I'm not sure PC would like totally enjoy that fact, okay? Make some room, bring him in. You see what I'm saying? But I mean, the point of this story is not what you might think that it is. I think I want to show you something else that maybe you didn't realize. Jesus didn't say, "You're healed now." Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." Okay? Not only was this man like a known sinner, right? And for that to be how Jesus responds to him, or that's how Jesus spoke to him, "Your sins are forgiven." It wasn't even his faith that brought him there to be healed. This man, a sinner running away from the things of God, he had people around him that cared for him enough, that loved him enough, that it didn't matter what his personal state of mind was. It didn't matter what, like, his, you know, hatred his agenda was, or whatever was going on for him to just live a life of sin like this. It didn't matter to them. They knew the healing power that was in Jesus, so they did whatever they could. It didn't matter what it took to get them there. They had the faith for him to put him where he needed to be to receive the healing that he needed to get. And not only that, I mean, you look at they cut a hole in the roof. I mean, if those were my friends and I was the guy on the mat, they'd have a serious chore ahead of them just to get him on the roof, to get me there, much less on the roof. And then they dug a hole through it. You know, they said they cut a hole in the clay, right? The clay of the roof. This is how they, you know, constructed their building. In the Bible, when it refers to clay, it's talking about your old self, you know, being removed from the miry clay. You see what I'm talking about? You can see the parallel. So for this man, his friends had to pull him out of his old self and his old attitude to be able to drop him into the place where he needed to be to receive what God had for him. Somebody in here has those friends that you've been refusing for too long. And maybe you need to just say, you know what? I'm going to let them take me where they need to take me. Or maybe you are those friends that you have somebody that's been refusing to come to church with you, or has been refusing to experience the power of God, that you know is the most powerful, transformative peace and love that you can ever experience. And you just have to remove them out of themselves and get them to the place they need to be. This is why relationships matter. This is why life groups are such a big deal. Because you look at both of these stories, one man had no one, and the other had no. This one man was discouraged because he had nobody, and this other man had people, but still didn't want it, you know, at the very beginning. But at the end of the day, it was the relationships that brought this second guy to where he needed to be. And the first guy, man, when Jesus healed him, he didn't just heal his physical body, he healed him socially too. I mean, this man, he couldn't make a living. He couldn't be a part of society in the traditional sense to where he could support a wife or support anybody else, because he was just bedridden and he was just laying on this mat for 4 decades. But that's what Jesus wants for you. And that's how we can experience it through life groups. Man, God will use other people in spite of our attitude to bring him closer to him. You see how faithful God is. It's not based on our faith. It wasn't based on this man's faith. It was his friend's faith that brought him where he needed to be. So God will use people in your life. So why would you turn people away? Colossians 2:19 says, the whole body, supported, held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Even the example of our human nature and our human body is an example of why community matters so much. Because our body is made up of parts, many different parts. It's an example of a community of organs and ligaments and sinew and bones and marrow and all these different things working together to create a whole body. Just like us in the church, us in life groups, us in community. It's many different people, many different backgrounds, many different thoughts, ideas, but one God that they're serving. They're coming together to serve one body. They're coming together to live in one unity, in one place. You see what I'm saying? Even God's own creation is an example of why community matters so much. You know, God always creates things, and it sets up a dependence on him and an interdependence on others. We're not meant to do life alone. We're not meant to struggle through life and get in a silo and run away. And that's not what we're meant to do. We're meant to do life together. If not, then what is family? If not, then what are friends? It's not just those institutions aren't just designed for people who are they're making relationships as easy for them. It's not just designed for the extroverts. It's not just designed for the popular ones. It's designed for every single person. You need community. You need relationships. You need to be in a group of people that will speak life into you. Why don't you bow your heads all across this room? I want to take a moment. You know, there's some of us in here that we don't have a community like that. And we're going to change that today. But there's also some in here that say, man, I don't have a community like that. I don't have a friend group like that. But I don't have a relationship like what you're talking about with Jesus either. You're talking all these life groups and experience in life, and everything is based on relationships. Well, it all started out based off one relationship. The one relationship that matters most, which is a relationship with Jesus. It's Him as our personal Lord and Savior. So if you're in here today, and I don't want anybody looking around, this is a private moment. If you're in here today and you're saying, I want a relationship with Jesus. I need Jesus as my Savior. Maybe, you know, you need to rededicate your life today, meaning that you know, maybe you have had Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but, you know, you just been struggling through life. Things have come down hard on you, and you hadn't really put forth the time, the effort to build that relationship, and you want to rededicate your life today. If you're in either of those boats, nobody looking around, say, I need Jesus. Why don't you go ahead and look up at me today? I want to pray with you. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Amen. Yes, thank you. Thank you, I see you. Yes, thank you, thank you. Amen. Thank you. Yes, I see you. I see you. Come on. Thank you. Yes, thank you. I see you. I see you. Thank you, young man. I see you. Come on, praise God. Praise God. So many people giving their heart to God this morning. I want you to, the whole church, we're going to pray this together with boldness, with faith, and declare it as one body this morning, as a life group in this room today, and celebrate what God is doing. So will you repeat this prayer after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I love you, and I thank you for loving me. You sacrificed your life for me. And so I turn away from my sinful past, and I turn my eyes towards you. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And from here on out, I'm following your lead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can we stand up and clap and thank God for the new believers in the house this morning? Because He is good. He is good.